Luke chapter number 16, let's go down to verse number 19. We'll read a couple verses together. Luke 16:19 says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, what a truth we can learn from that you gave us. And this passage, Lord, and you have this story about these two men. And Lord, I pray they would help somebody here today who doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven. And I pray that today they would get that taken care of. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How many have ever read a well-known book, The Tale of Two Cities? Old book. Anybody read that before? I've read a few parts of it. I didn't get all the way through it, but I have read it. In college, I read a poem that was called The Tale of Two Churches. The Tale of Two Churches. But this morning, we have the tale of two men. And Jesus told this true story. It is a story filled with lessons and truth about life, death, and eternity. And the rich man lived for now. Things now, what he could have now, and was lost for eternity. The poor man's only hope was eternity. He had nothing here. Some of you may feel like that. You have nothing here. You see everybody else, they're driving around, they've got these cars and houses and things, and I got nothing! You can relate here with Lazarus. Most of us can if we're comparing ourselves to a rich man. But please don't misunderstand the point here. Riches did not keep this man from heaven. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with that. But riches was not the thing that kept him from being lost. Poverty had nothing to do with the poor man going to heaven. But you know what I noticed? When I've knocked on doors before, when I remember in Sacramento, there was very wealthy neighborhoods, and then there was poor neighborhoods. The wealthy neighborhoods didn't need me most of the time. I was a bother to them. They didn't want to talk to me. If I tried to tell them about church, no, we're good. Keep your child, we're good. Look at us. We've got enough. But the poor people in the lower income houses were looking for hope. And I've seen more people get saved that are living in poverty than people who have everything this world has to offer them. Those people are still looking for hope too. You know what happens though is their pride won't allow them to tell you. They won't tell you that they're looking for hope. But their actions prove it. Many millionaires have testified that they got saved. They asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. I think of J.P. Morgan or J.C. Penney. Anybody read J.C. Penney's book before? Phenomenal book. If you've never read it before, an old book. I've got the original copy, or the originals, like when they first came out, used one. And then North Valley Baptist Church reprinted them and made them very nice. And you can get them at North Valley Baptist Church. I don't think you can buy them new anywhere else except for from North Valley Baptist Church. You can try to find used ones on Amazon or different book websites. But great book from J.C. Penney's. Cyrus McCormick, Mr. Kraft of Kraft Cheese, proclaimed that he became a Christian, accept Jesus Christ as Savior. R.C. Laterne. On the other hand, many poor men have lost their souls and gone to hell because of a lack of repentance and faith. So riches, poor, has nothing to do with whether you go to heaven or not. But I believe that riches keep a lot of people from hell because they're too proud to admit that they're a sinner. Too proud to admit that they need God because they have become their own God. Their things have become their God and what they have has become their God. And then we've got people like me and you who maybe don't have the riches that they have, and we look at that and we think, that is happiness. I am going to commit my life to having that, because that must do it. Oh, and people can, they can put on a show when it comes to social media, and they can only take pictures of the good parts of their life and the perfect photo, and you see, they go, wow, man, they've got everything. Does anything go wrong in their life? Do you really think they're going to just, you know, post all the bad stuff that's going on in daily? They're giving you a false impersonation of what their life is really like. I've known some people like that. People in my life that I thought, wow, from a distance, man, everything's just working out for them. Then I found out behind the scenes stuff. Oh, wow, didn't know all that was going on in their life. Didn't know they were living like that. Didn't know that they were about to commit suicide at one point. They didn't proclaim that out there on social media. Stop letting this world influence you. I think the devil has a huge part in our internet. Huge part. I don't think that. I know that. He has a huge part in the web out there and all the cloud and online, everything that goes on out there. The devil has a huge part in that because he's got an easier way now to tempt you, to get you to fall, to get you to quit, to fall for his ways rather than falling for the Lord's ways and for what the Bible has to say. We start following men more than we start following what God has to say. The difference here is not money, but men. I want to point out three things this morning from this passage. I'm going to give you all three of them right here, all right? Number one, the great contrast. Number two, the great controversy. And number three, the great concern. Number one, the great contrast, heaven or hell?
Yes, sir.
Heaven or hell. Most important decision that you can make in your life, heaven or hell. Everybody says they want to go where? Talk to me this morning. Where do we want to go? We want to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell. Some time ago, I read of two men sitting on a log, and that log started falling down that hill, and they both jumped off. One man jumped off the opposite way that it was falling, and the other man jumped off on the wrong side. And that log crushed him and killed him. One man was on the right side of the log, the other was on the wrong side of the log. I can think of many stories in the Bible where two men, one was right, one was wrong. One was on the right side, one was on the wrong side. I think of the story of Cain and Abel. It illustrates the same truth. Cain's vegetable offering was rejected, and Abel's animal accepted. Abel's offering fulfilled the prophetic picture of a blood sacrifice and suggested God's way. Cain's offering shows man's way. One was right, and one was wrong. I think of Jacob and Esau, the twin brothers. They had the same parents, the same environment, the same opportunities. But one cared for now and physical needs, while the other concerned for later. One was right, the other was wrong and on the wrong side. I think of Jesus told of two men who built houses. One built his house on the rock and the other built his house on the what? One house stood while the other fell. One man was wise, the other was a
fool.
Might have sang, I don't know, did you sing it this morning here? Wise man built his house upon the rock. Not this morning, okay? The wise man built his house upon a rock. I think of when Jesus comes, he will find two men in a field. One shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in bed. One will be gone, the other will be left. Two men went to pray, the Bible says. One prayed with pride and boasted of his standing and achievements. Can you imagine praying to the Lord like that? And boasting to the Lord of all the great things you've done? The other prayed for mercy because of his sin. One was justified and one was condemned. Two men were crucified with Jesus. The thief on one side sought to be set free in this life. The other thief decided to settle the matter of the next life on his own. One died and went to hell. The other immediately went to paradise.
Good.
The tale of two men.
Yep.
I think of heaven and hell, the great contrast. You talk about a place like heaven. The Bible says that our imagination cannot even comprehend how great it is. I think of men today and these developers that develop video games and how imaginative they can be and crazy in these worlds that they try to create for these kids to go and dwell in and be a part of, in that fantasy. All right? It's a fantasy. And they want these kids to be in this other life, a part of this game. Don't tell me it's not like that. That's what kids feel like when they go and play some of these types of games. And they think it's real life because it's so imaginative. They make this just incredible picture for you to imagine and think of. And I think of the other place called hell.
Come on.
A place, the Bible, okay, don't matter if you're going to heaven, doesn't matter if you're going to hell. You're going to be there for eternity.
Amen.
For eternity. That means forever. There's never going to be an end. If you believe the Bible, which I do, every single word I believe from the Bible is from God's word, or it's God's word, it's from his mouth. I believe, according to the Bible, you will be in hell. If you're not saved and you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be there forever.
Right.
There's never like, I made a mistake. Can you forgive me now? Take me to heaven. I accept you now. That will not happen. You will be in hell. The Bible says you will be in a lake of fire. Fire is so hot, it's hotter than any fire we've ever seen or experienced or felt here on earth. How many of you have ever been burned by anything before? All right? Been burned? Man, if you haven't, you're lucky. All right? You are just blessed. Okay? Many of us have. How many have not been burned ever? Nobody. No, I thought some didn't raise their hand. All right, you're just being lazy, okay? Burned, though. The automatic response is, ouch!
Yes.
Ah!
Yes, sir.
That's the automatic response from something small.
Right.
And you say, oh, I had a really bad burn. Oh, it's nothing compared to hell.
Right.
It is nothing compared to hell. Your entire body, not just a finger, not just an arm, not just a toe or a leg, your entire body will be thrown into the lake of fire. This is not me and my imagination. This is straight out of the Bible, straight out of Scripture. The Bible says that you and I, if we are not saved, we will be thrown in that lake of fire. Tale of two places. You'll be screaming for all of eternity. There will be never an end. I've experienced migraines before. I mean, they just are killing you. Just feels like there's no end to it and just nothing is helping. And I think of just experience of what a migraine is like. How minor something of that nature is to hell, where you'll be screaming in pain forever. Wrap your mind around that for a moment. Forever. Screaming. Getting burned. You say, why are you telling us this? Because I don't want you to go there.
Amen.
I don't want anybody in here that's already asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior does not want you to go there. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't want you to go to that place.
Right. That's right.
God's given you an opportunity to where you don't have to go to that place. I don't care who you are or what you've done. God has given you an opportunity to not go to that place. I read a story of a man. He was a judge, and a friend came to him and he said, I understand you and your wife are going to be separated. And he said to his well-known friend who was a judge, and the judge said, how dare you insinuate such a thing? He was upset and he's mad. He said, me and my wife have an incredible, great relationship. We would never separate. He said, oh, is that so? He said, well, I heard that she only has a short time to live. And I know she's a Christian and she goes to church and she'll be going to be with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ someday. Where are you going when you die? The judge, very proud man, very well known. It's a note story, you can look it up. The judge started tearing up and got convicted right there in that moment, knowing he could be separated from his wife someday. Oh, they had a great relationship here on earth. But there was a contrast. She was going to heaven. He was going to hell. The man got saved that day. Number two this morning, the great controversy. Is there an eternal hell of torment? Is there eternal hell of torment? If you have that question this morning, if you believe the Bible, the answer is yes. There's no other answer. There's no other maybe a possibility. Well, it's a myth, 50% chance. No, it's real. It's there. Believe it. I think of when someone talks to me and they try to tell me that there is no hell, there's no God and all kind of stuff. You know, they try to convince me of all of that. And I say, what if you're wrong? And I'm right.
Come on, right there.
I believe in heaven and hell. Yeah. And you just believe in going to the dirt. If you're wrong and I'm right, you're missing out on heaven and you're going to hell.
Right.
If I'm wrong, I'm just going to the dirt. My consequences aren't very much. But your consequences are way greater than mine. I believe in the Bible. You believe in the dirt? That's all you believe in? You just believe in this earth? Where did this earth come from? Oh, Big Bang. If you really, really look into it, how many have ever read about or the describing of a butterfly. Anybody ever read that before? Where it's a whole thing that goes through. My dad read it in a message one time. I'll find it sometime and read it to you. But the what God did in the butterfly is unbelievable. It'll make anybody who doesn't believe in God believe in God. If you realize what God did inside of a butterfly is incredible. God, and that's all over creation. All over creation. God's hands are all over creation. He's real. Heaven is real. Hell could not be the grave. Hell could not be the grave. Notice the rich man in hell. It says he lifted up his eyes when he's in hell. He was in torments. He saw. He cried. He said. He heard. And he was able to remember. If you're in the grave, those things don't happen. There was life after death for him. He did those things because he was alive in hell. And he was experiencing those things. God has used fire to punish sinners, and he will do so again. You read through all throughout Scripture, you'll see it. I'll tell you about him. In Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord used fire and brimstone to judge the people. Nadab and Abihu, the wicked sons of Eleazar the priest, were devoured by fire from God. Fire came down from heaven to consume a great group of complainers in Numbers 11:1 and 250 rebellious people in Numbers 16:35. King Ahaziah blamed Elijah for his troubles and sent a captain and 50 men to drag him in before the king. Elijah asked the Lord for direction, and fire came from heaven to destroy them. Another 50 men and their captain were ordered to get Elijah and bring him in again. God answered by Elijah, and a captain and 50 men went out and devoured in flames to meet God. Finally, the king asked for another captain and 50 men. Captains were now scarce. They were scared, and they had heard of the strange fiery judgment that was being brought upon them. This time they came to Elijah. Fit please thee, could you possibly spare a few minutes? The king wants to talk to you. They saw what happened. Ah, I don't want to be a part of this. No, it's not us. This is him. That's his fault. Fire was powerful then, and God's going to use it again very, very soon. In all these places, the Lord used fire. There's a great number of verses in the Scripture that tell us he will use fire again. The Lord will return in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. The crowd of the great white throne judgment will be cast into the lake of, say it with me,
fire.
Matthew 5:22. Jesus spoke of the danger of hellfire. Matthew 5:29 and 30, he advised that it would be better to cut off a hand or a foot or pluck out an eye before allowing these endanger you to hell. He warned fear in Matthew 10:28. Fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Matthew 11:23, Jesus told Capernaum that she would be brought down to hell. Matthew 13:49, he told of the angels gathering up the wicked and casting them into the furnace of fire. Matthew 23:33, he asked a group of scribes, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Matthew 25:41, he tells how he will order some to depart into everlasting fire. There is a real place called hell.
Yes, sir.
And it's a place full of fire, the lake of fire.
Right.
Cults are wrong and the Bible is right. God will use fire to judge the wicked. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Sunday School Times. It's no longer around anymore, but my grandpa told me about it. The Sunday School Times, I think 1966 or somewhere there is when it was discontinued, but it started in the late 1800s and would just kind of give you updates on Sunday school material or things going on in other churches that you could maybe use in your churches. And they would tell different stories and stuff. And the Sunday School Times told of a young woman dying who said to her father, "Father, why did you not tell me there was such a place?" He said, "What place?" She said, "A hell." And no, he said, "There will be no future sufferings." He said, "Jenny, there is no such place. God is merciful. There will be no future sufferings." She said, "Daddy, you were wrong. My feet are slipping in at this moment. I am lost. Why didn't you tell me there was such a place?" I've heard stories of people. My dad was leading a man to the Lord. When I was a young kid, I wasn't there. But my dad was trying to lead a man to the Lord who was just bitter and angry and wanted nothing to do with God. He'd witnessed to him numerous times all throughout his life. And I remember my dad telling the story about he went to his deathbed to try to witness to him one more time, and he rejected him again. And right there in front of his eyes, the man started to slip away and to die. And he started to say, "Ah, I can feel it! I can feel the fire!"
fire. And he started sweating like crazy. He said, oh my God, it's real. It's real. And he passed away right before my dad's eyes, screaming because he was slipping right into hell in that moment. Don't tell me hell's not real. It's there. Number three, the great concern. Lost brothers. The great concern. How many of you have a lost loved one or a friend? It hurts me. Of some people that I know, some friends or people that I'm close to, that just, they won't humble themselves. They won't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they are believing in what their Bible says, or what their church is telling them. Family members. And it burdens me, it saddens me deeply. I pray for them all the time. If you have a loved one, friend, somebody that you know, a coworker like that, you need to pray for them. Pray for them. Have them on your list. Pray. I've seen God do some great things many, many years of people that just wouldn't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they had a wife or a husband or a family member, a friend, somebody that just kept praying for them, a church that just kept praying for them, and someday they finally were tender to the Lord and got saved because somebody was praying for them. The rich man now, who is now the poor man, began to remember his life on earth. His many opportunities to repent and receive Christ were ever before him. Suddenly he thought of his five brothers who were following his poor example. They were trying to get rich as he did. They were trying to gain earthly wealth and things, and everything this world could offer them, just like he did. They rejected the Lord just like he did. They did not have time for God. He pleaded with Abraham as he was watching this happen. He said, do something, send somebody. Send Lazarus, send somebody. Go get my brothers. Tell them about heaven. Tell them about God. And he said, they have the Bible. They've had it just like you had it. He said, if they won't listen to God, they won't listen to the Bible. They're not going to listen to any of us. They're not going to listen to anybody else. You didn't listen to anybody else. You had people pleading with you, trying to tell you, and nobody told you. Or you wouldn't listen to them. This morning, are you here this morning? And you're doing the church thing. And you think your works are getting you to heaven. You think, oh, I've made some good decisions. Almost every time I go out sowing, and someone tells me they're saved. I ask them, how do you know that? How do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? They say, oh, because, you know, I've lived a good life. I've made some good decisions. You know, I haven't tried to be a bad person, and I've had a good relationship with the Lord, and I talk to the Lord, and, you know, so I think I'm pretty good. Well, that doesn't come from the Bible. That comes from man. That comes from Satan.
Yes,
Satan wants you to have comfort in that because he knows that doesn't come from the Bible. And I can prove from the Bible, if you say, well, I think it does, come show me and I'll show you what the Bible says. The Bible says, not by works we should boast.
Yes, sir.
We are not good enough. I'm not good enough to get to heaven by myself. I don't care what I do here on earth. I can't get myself into heaven. The Bible says no sin can get up into heaven. Thank God we had a Savior, Jesus, come down and he took away our sins.
Amen.
There's been a gift of eternal life. A gift doesn't become yours until you receive it, though. Is a gift free or do you work for it? It's free. A normal gift is free, right? Sometimes you say, well, they gave me a car. I mean, all I had to do was mow their lawn. And basically, no, you worked for it. A gift is free. God gave all of us, every human being on earth, a gift of salvation. But it does not become our gift until we receive it. Those of you that are parents, when you put presents under the Christmas tree for your kids, they do not belong to your kids until you tell them, all right, open your gifts. And they receive those gifts, and then they become their gift. God gave you a gift of eternal life in heaven. Free. You don't have to work for it. There's nothing you could do to earn it. But God forgave you of your sin, and I'm thankful that he did, so that I can go to heaven. This morning, you can take care of that. This morning, you can ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. One of us can show you. There's many people in this room that have helped others, shown a few verses. It only takes a few minutes of your time. A few minutes. Is it worth it to you? Is it worth living your life in peace the rest of your life knowing I'm going to heaven? Or you want to just live the rest of your life wondering, thinking, I think 50% sure,
pretty sure I'm there. The Bible gives us the answers how we can know 100% for sure we're going to heaven when we die. If men will not listen to God's word, they will not repent. If you won't listen to God's word, you won't repent of your sins. I have this poem by a lady by the name of Dorothy Gurney. It reads, after the joys of earth, after its song of mirth, after its hours of light, after its dreams so bright, what then? Only an empty name, only a weary frame, only a conscious smart, only an aching heart. After this empty name, after this weary frame, after this conscious smart, after this aching heart, what then? Only a sad farewell to a world loved too well. Only a silent bed with the forgotten dead. What then? Oh, then the judgment throne, then all the woes that dwell. Oh, then the lost hope gone in eternal hell. Powerful thought. Someday we'll pass from this earth. Someday we will be judged for what we've done here on earth. God will either say, depart from me, I never knew you, or he will accept you into heaven because you accepted that free gift of eternal life. Most of us care for your lost soul. We care about your lost soul. Some people have come to church for many, many years. I've seen deacons as a kid. I saw a deacon in our church who was in church from the time I could remember. And a message got preached and he got saved that night. I saw a youth pastor's wife at a teen revival got saved. Don't matter who you are. I'm afraid that Christians sometimes will have come to church for so long that they're too embarrassed to say, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. It's okay. It's okay. We've all been there before. All of us had to humble ourselves. I had to humble myself and accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I had to do that. My brother and my sister, they got saved when they were 4 and 5 years old. And at teen camp, my brother was 16, I believe, and my sister was 14. We grew up in a pastor's home. We were given all the answers. We heard preaching from the time, from the first service after we were born till now. I mean, we had always heard preaching. We had always heard it taught. And we trusted that they were going to heaven. They trusted they were going to heaven just because mom and dad had told them, yeah, when you were 4 and 5 years old. But they didn't remember that. They didn't remember what they were taught or given from the Bible. And at teen camp, 16-year-old to 14-year-old pastor kid got saved that day. For a 16-year-old pastor's kid to raise their hand at a teen camp takes a lot. I grew up as a pastor's kid. You're expected to know. I was expected to know. Should have been something I took into care of a long time ago. I'm thankful my brother and sister decided, I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks. I just want to get saved. I just want to ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I want to accept that gift of eternal life. Many years ago, evangelist Joe Hankins preached a sermon entitled, Who Cares If a Sinner Goes to Hell? Dr. Hankins pointed out that God the Father cares. The Holy Spirit cares. Jesus cares. The lost in hell care. And the saved in heaven care. The invitations and pleas flow endlessly from the Bible, begging men to escape hell. A few have been affected by the plea of this pitiful man in hell and are going up and down the roads and streets of this country seeking for somebody's brother to tell them not to go to that awful place. Some have given their life to God for service because they cared. Many have gone to the mission field. Some have become pastors, some evangelists, some teachers to help men out of hell. Others have sacrificed, worked, and given because they caught a vision of keeping a soul out of hell. Man, we had a family in our church when this all closed. We had a family in our church. A mother came. And they moved to our church from another church. And mom with 5 kids, she was married. But her husband didn't come to church. He was a partier and just wild temper, been in and out of jail through the years. And they had both had good jobs, but he was just a wild guy. Man, she worked for the military and for many, many years. She just retired recently. But boy, she was a very put together mom, had 5 kids, never missed a service. She was in charge of the nursery at the church, just volunteered for everything. Her kids, they were at everything. Didn't have the dad ever there. And they had been doing this before they ever came to our church. And I remember the mom did everything she could to keep her kids in the Christian school. And I ran the Christian school, and they would get behind on their Christian school bill, and she would come and talk to me, and she would never, ever, her husband hated this Christian school, didn't like the church, didn't feel like they should be giving their money to put their kids in a Christian school. It's too much money. Why are we spending all this money? We could be spending it on booze and alcohol and drugs and different stuff. Why are we doing this? And he just got angry and upset at her for putting their, so he was never for it. But she would never, ever throw her husband under the bus. I'd meet with her and try to work things out with her, and she would just take all the blame for why they couldn't afford and why they were behind on their school bill. We wanted to help. We wanted to help so much. I remember their boys coming to church or to school in the morning sometimes, and just their dad was rough with them sometimes, and he just wasn't a Christian father. And the stuff he did, the things he said, the words he would say to them, that just hurt them as young boys. And I remember them coming to my office in the mornings before school even got started, just crying and just like, want to give up, want to quit. Like, why are we doing this? And they were attitudes toward their mom weren't good. It was just a mess. And boy, we kept praying for them. But they came to our church for about 6 or 7 years. And then they moved away to Southern California. And the mom found them a really good church. I mean, you heard of Johnny Esposito? I heard Johnny, their church down there. And they're in Southern California. Big church. And a man from their church reached out to his family, and they lived 45 minutes away from this church, but he said, hey, I'll come pick the kids up for the bus. They can come work on the bus routes with us. He would drive 45 minutes away to go pick those kids up, bring them to church, and take them on the bus route with them. The mom would come to church, but she would come for the main service. And boy, this man just invested in this family. And this man, the dad, saw this happening. Yep. He saw in his kids, they're working in a bus ministry, they're helping other people. And he said it started to do something inside of him.
Yeah.
And he finally came to church. And he came to church at Regency many times. And the only thing that he ever wanted to talk to me about was the Denver Broncos. Because he liked the Broncos. I liked the Broncos. But anything else, you tried talking to him about the gospel? Nah. Church? No. When it was football season, never came to church. You only got to come to church every once in a while, like Mother's Day or something. All of a sudden, he goes to church down there. And he sees people that are investing into his family. He just wanted to go there and just tell them, thank you. Thank you for caring for my family and all the stuff you're doing for them. Well, he went there and the pastor preached a message on hell.
Yes, sir.
Preached the gospel to him.
On.
And he started crying. I mean, this man is a big guy. Muscled. I mean, he's just tough. Been in out of jail. Got in fights. I mean, you hear some of the stories. I haven't even heard all of them because he said there's some I can't tell you. This guy was tough. Tough. Just bawling his eyes out in his service, from what I was told, and he got saved.
Amen.
Got saved. Man, he's got involved in the bus ministry. All of a sudden, was like working on the bus routes, going every Saturday, going soul winning, and just tearing it up for the Lord down there. And he said, I want to go back to the church, though, that helped my family more than any other church. And he came back to Regency, to our church there in Sacramento, about 5 years ago. And his family, they were one of the best families in the church. Incredible family. The Lions family, love them to death. And it just blows my mind. One of their kids just went off to college this year, and he's doing so good. They have 7 kids now. I'm here to tell you, hell is real. Heaven is real. You need to know where you're going. Don't allow your pride to get in the way. Allow God to help you. How long is eternity? I'm going to read you this, and I'm done. Take 1 million years. How long is eternity? Take 1 million years and multiply it times all the population since Adam. Now multiply that number times all the angels God created, times all the trees ever grown, times all the leaves on the trees, times all the birds in the trees, times all the feathers on the birds, times all the bees out of the comb, times all the insects in the air, times all the blades of grass, times all the drops of rain that have fallen, times all the snowflakes from the sky, times all the drops of water in the ocean, times all the fish in the sea, times all the sands of the seashores, times all the dust of the earth, times all the stars of the sky, times all the grains of corn ever grown. I mean, the list can go on. Let that number, whatever number comes to your mind, and multiply it by 1,000, and you're still not even close. That's how long eternity is. That's how long you're going to stay in hell or heaven or hell. I'm pleading with you, do not leave Blessed Hope Baptist Church if you don't know for sure you're going to this place called heaven. You're not going to want to leave this place. The tale of two men. Which one are you? Where are you at right now? Do you know? Do you want to live in regret in hell the rest of your life? Like that rich man who thought he knew everything and had everything he wanted? and then look back and realizing Lazarus, the poor man who was a beggar, had all the answers, had what God wanted him to have. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for putting yourself in an earthly man's body, Lord, to come down here and to suffer, to be mocked, ridiculed, made fun of, spit upon, stabbed, hung on a cross, Lord, because you loved us, because you cared about us. And you didn't want us to go to a place called hell. You wanted to have mercy upon us and give us a place called heaven. And you wanted to forgive us of our sins because we are humans, we do sin. And Lord, we can't earn our way into heaven. We know from the Bible that sin cannot get into heaven. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray that you would burden somebody here this morning who doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. I pray they wouldn't leave today without asking you to be their Savior, taking care of that, getting 100% assurance of it today.